This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
And we're taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Good, we have the full show today, 3 hours, 8 to 11. And, of course, Dave Grosby joining us at 10:30. So let's get started with some headlines. Well, the Mariners got a good win last night. Ty France had a walk-off home run at the end to be able to get the Mariners a 6-5 win. So what, are they 9-5 right now? They lead the AL West. Pretty amazing when you think about it, but really, this team's been kind of really solid, really feisty, really battles, and some good pitching, some good hitting, clutch hitting more than anything else, and one of the best clutch hitting teams in baseball. As far as in the National Football League, Sheldon Richardson, the former Seahawk, he was released by the Cleveland Browns. He was making, over $11 million a year, $12 million a year, and so they saved $11 million by cutting him. They wanted him to take a pay cut. He didn't want to take it. Wonder if the Seahawks will have some interest in bringing him back. Then you still see that Marquise Goodwin, a wide receiver that I think the Seahawks were interested in, he ended up getting a one-year deal with the Chicago Bears. So free agency still continues, draft getting closer. Penei Sewell, of course, continuing to work out at left and right tackle from Oregon. He should be the first offensive lineman taken, maybe the fourth pick or fifth pick in the draft. And those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Cleek. How are we doing this sunshiny Saturday morning, my friend?
Doing well.
All right, good, good. Hey, you're talking about the Cleveland Browns. They cut Sheldon Richardson. They saved $11 million under the cap. That's fine. But they pick up Jadeveon Clowney for $8 million for 1 year.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Mr. Clayton. Jadeveon Clowney gets off the bus. You're impressed. But when you put him on the field, are you impressed?
I've been impressed. I mean, he's a good player. I mean, even last year, despite not getting a sack, because he just can't get sacks, but he put pressure on the quarterback. And so he played well.
Mr. Clay, not to cut you off, my friend, but Jadeveon Clowney last year got four tackles.
Uh-huh.
Was that worth $50 million?
No.
But they
paid him 13. He got eight this year.
$13 million for four tackles?
Yeah,
basically, I think you could shoot up and get me four tackles for $13 million.
Yeah.
I mean, they're having sort of run the ball your way to your side of the field because they think that you couldn't stop the run. You'd be involved in that tap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, I think people should start recognizing I would not pay Jadeveon Clowney that kind of money. I'm sorry. I just could not give him that kind of money. He stayed injured too much, Mr. Clayton. He had that very good breakout year with the Houston Texans. You remember that.
Right.
He had a real good year.
He had three Pro Bowl years.
Okay.
And still, when he's on the field, he's one of the most double-teamed defensive ends in football, or double-teamed players in football.
Well, I mean, I looked at him last year with the Tennessee Titans. There wasn't too much double-teaming with that new era hat standing next to the coach on the sideline.
Uh-huh.
$8 million for, all right, we'll see this year. Now, he's got a guy on the other side, Barrett. Over there with the Cleveland Browns, that can get to the quarterback, do what you need to get done. Let's see if he can feed off of that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Let's put it this way:
they got him for half of what the Browns offered, less than half of what the Browns offered last year, because they offered him $17 million, he wouldn't take it.
Oh, jeez! I'd have taken for four tackles.
I know.
I'm just saying, I think some people get enamored with what he did previously, and then you turn around and look at it. You got to look at the person today instead of looking at the person what they did 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get enamored with what they did 5 years ago compared to what you see going on today, because I think the Tennessee Titans, did they offer him anything to come back?
No, they did not.
That should tell you something.
It says something.
It says something, Mr. Clayton. That same team that gave you $13 million last year didn't offer you a dime to come back this year.
Uh-huh.
That should tell you something. I just say, just looking at it from that perspective, Sheldon Richardson, He started last year. He was productive player. Right now, him falling into free agency right now, he could possibly be a good bargain for somebody to pick up if he chooses to take, what, maybe $5-6 million?
If not, maybe a little bit less.
That's what's going to be boiling down to because you're coming into the draft. But this is the thing about the draft this year. They're kind of thin on the defensive side of the ball, on the D-line in particular.
Well, particularly defensive tackle.
Yes. It's very thin. It's not a thick defensive tackle draft this year as far as that's concerned. So he could probably, it's a possibility he could maybe garner a little interest if somebody's interested in paying him that kind of money. I wouldn't give him over $5 million.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that for him as far as that's concerned. You know, the Browns.
Let's put it this way. If I'm Seattle, I'm calling.
If you're the Hawks, well, yeah. They got rid of Jared Reed, right?
Right.
Yeah, on the interior side. Would I call? Now, this is the one thing. You don't want to get you get good veterans, but you don't want to overemphasize in paying a lot of veterans. You've got to implement some youngsters
right,
in that
right,
too.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes, you know, let's go back, Mr. Clayton, I know you remember that. Remember George Allen when he was with the Washington football team? How he used to trade all his draft picks away and go get veterans?
Right.
Start the year off, he was 8-0, 7-8-0. What happened to him by December?
They started losing?
Because they started getting hurt. When you get too many veterans, they start to have aches, pains, and being out, and the team would falter by the end of the year. So that's where you got to implement. You got to have a combination of both, to me. Now you got to flip toward that draft, maybe pick up a couple of youngsters.
Yeah, but you only have three draft choices.
Oh, that's right. Three draft choices is not that good, Mr. Clay. So you might want to go get Sheldon Richardson.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the other guy I look at, too, is Maurice Hurst, who was released by the Raiders. Now, you can probably get him a little less than the minimum because they cut him. He was a, what, fourth-round pick in 2018. He does have the ability to get some pressure, but he had the escalator in his contract in the fourth year that paid him $2.183 million. You can probably get him for $920,000.
Mr. Clayton, now you got my ears ringing up, perking up there, my friend. I think I would do more with that right now.
Yeah.
A guy like that would feed off of what you got on the defensive line. Now, they picked up the other guy that played with the Dallas Cowboys. What's his name?
Are you talking about Alden Smith? Yeah.
Alden Smith. Yeah, they picked up Alden Smith. What do you think?
I think it's a good move because, you know, you got him at the minimum. If it doesn't work out, you only lose like about $137,500 as far as signing bonus. There's no guarantee that we know of in the contract. So, no, I think it's a good move because, you know, he had 5 sacks, 50 pressures. He can do some things. And, you know, now you have 7 guys on the defensive end, so you have one extra that, if you get to camp and everybody stays healthy and all that stuff. I mean, you can even maybe trade a Rasheem Green and get some kind of value for him. So, no, I think it was a good move.
You think the Brooks kid is better than KJ Wright?
No.
Right now, at this point in time?
No, but, I mean, right now it's, he's 31 years old. And
31.
Brooks looks good. But I think that, right now, I don't think it looks good to get him back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I thought KJ Wright had some of his last 2 years of some of his most productive years.
Agreed.
In the league.
Mm-hmm.
As playing. I enjoyed the way he played. I mean, when you start to see linebackers that get 60-70% of the snaps that are, they're involved, they're around the ball or they're involved in the tackle.
Mm-hmm.
That shows that their instincts is just off the charts. I thought he had real good instinct. He was very instinctive. I thought he was playing at a high level these last couple of years. I know he's 31 years old, but, you know, there's not too many people going to come around and give him an $8, $9 million deal.
No.
But I think he would be a real good bargain for anybody if they could work something out to get him in their camp.
Yeah, but right now it doesn't look good at all for him.
No.
Because, he's gone this far in free agency and hasn't gotten anything.
You're not going to get nothing. Like, not what he's expecting.
No.
I don't think you're going to get it. No. I think he's barking up a tree right now. that I don't see him getting that coming down. No, I don't see that for him. Let's flip right quick to the draft that's coming up. The quarterback position, they're going to go with Trevor Lawrence in the first overall pick, right?
Right.
That second quarterback you predict to be the Wilson kid out of BYU?
Zach Wilson, yes.
Okay, the third one. This is the third quarterback. Who do you like?
Who do I like? I mean, I would take Justin Fields, but what I gather is going to be Mac Jones going to San Francisco.
Don't you think they're overanalyzing Justin Fields?
I don't know. I mean, it's like anything else. I mean, different coaches, different teams have different opinions on quarterbacks. And so, like, for example, you can go to another team looking for a quarterback, and they're going to have it rated differently. So you want the guy that you want. So in the end, it's like, okay, well, take the guy that you want. I mean, Kyle Shanahan likes guys that are accurate, smart, and know what to do on down and distance. You know, you go back to Washington when he was offensive coordinator, and, you know, he had RG3, but he preferred Kirk Cousins and ultimately went to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, but you know that situation in Washington was primarily dealing with Daniel Snyder,
yeah,
the owner too. I you guarantee you, he had his hand in that pick too, also.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
That was concerned.
Yeah, Dan Snyder made that pick.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, but just looking at, you know, to me, looking at Matt Jones, you know, I think sometimes it can be misconstrued from what you looked at last year in college football with all the kids opting out. A lot of teams had COVID protocols, this, that, this, and that. I think that you might be looking at something that might be a little bit not exactly what you're looking at. Does that make sense?
It is different, but again, you want the guy that you want, and if that's the guy that he wants, okay, he can take the guy that he wants.
Yeah, he moved up to the number three pick. He can go get the guy that he wants. You know, I think sometimes some teams overreach,
yeah,
by looking at things that they think that it might be good.
Well, particularly at the quarterback position. I mean, look at Mitch Trubisky with the Chicago Bears.
And
look at Sam Darnold with the
taken in that draft, Mr. Clayton.
Was that?
Who was the other two quarterbacks taken in that draft?
You got Deshaun Watson, and you got the best quarterback in the league right now in Kansas City at Patrick Mahomes.
The Bears moved up there to Mitchell Trubisky that played 1 year.
Well, he played 4 years. It's just that it didn't play well.
But I'm saying this is the thinking in some of these teams when they look overanalyze these quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
They look for something that they think is smart, intelligence, blah, blah, blah. You really need to go look at that tape in college and see him against some well-rounded teams and see how did he perform and how he looked. And also look at what he's going against on the opposite side. You know, I can go out there, Mr. Clayton, throw 500 yards against a first grader. That doesn't mean I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's just that. Look at that. And is Ryan Pace, you know, how does the Bears look at Ryan Pace as a general manager for picking up on Mitchell Trubisky?
Well, he'll pay the price if they don't win this year and lose his job, as will the coach. Hey, got to run.
Mr. Clayton, we'll talk next Saturday before the draft, my friend.
All right, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Good, John. How are you?
Hanging in there.
Okay, great. Good. Well, I get my second shot for the COVID vaccine today over there at Lumen Field in the afternoon.
Oh, very good.
Right. Well, I'm excited. You know, I've waited a while, so
I'm still waiting.
To do my part. What's that?
I was still waiting. I was hoping for the Johnson & Johnson, but right now it's on pause.
Right. Yeah. And your wife, has she gotten it yet?
No.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, well, you know, COVID's made the news as well, in a lot of respects with regard to the NFL. Did you hear what Marshawn Lynch did the other day on his YouTube channel?
No, I didn't. I know he bought into a soccer team.
Yeah, I heard that too, right? Yeah, he sure did.
But what did Marshawn do?
He had Dr. Anthony Fauci on his YouTube channel talking about the COVID virus and you know, and Marshawn was quite frank with him about, you know, the Black and Latino communities have been reluctant to want to do this for a lot of reasons. And so he talked to Fauci about it. And I thought that was good that Marshawn did that public service. And he laid it out there. And I thought it was good that he had him. You know, he's an icon. And he's the kind of guy that, you know, he's an influencer. And if he wasn't saying he was going to go get it, but he put the information out there for people to assess and to evaluate the facts on their own merits, you know, for their own needs. I thought it was good for him to do that.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. And then looks as though a lot more teams are opting out of the OTAs here.
Yeah, we're up to 15 right now, Raiders included.
Right. And, you know, I thought that Ed Rainey of the Las Vegas Review Journal had something interesting to say about that. He says, if you think it's COVID related, you better think again. This is basically a negotiating ploy by the union to because they're not wild about the 17 game schedule, even though it was collectively bargained, and a number of other things. He just thinks it's a ruse. And I'm not sure whether I agree with him on that, but I thought it was an interesting point.
But you could also see the point, too, is like they don't like the OTAs, the 10 practices on the field and the mini camp. I mean, you still have virus problems.
Right.
I mean, what I'm curious to see is that, you know, you have guys that are in the building right now getting treatment. I think the Cowboys have like about 25 guys. But J.C. Treader kind of leaked out a little bit that and he's the head of the union that right. Some of these guys have COVID-19.
Right. Yeah. I think he's the center for the Cleveland Browns, right?
Guard, yeah. Or center, yeah. You're right, center.
Oh, okay, center. So, I mean, yeah, these are concerns. And I think the players' posture is, at least for another year, is that, look, we did okay without having to go to OTAs. And I think that's true.
Injuries were up, and I mean, they weren't up in the preseason, but certainly injuries were up. But also, it's like, you know, this you have so many opt-outs and so many guys that haven't played.
Right.
And you got, you know, five quarterbacks. You got, what, seven new coaches? It's like, come on.
Well, that's right. And I think that to an extent it's okay, but to another extent it's not. It's not great for the rookies, for instance.
Right.
I think most of the rookies that came into the league last year, it wasn't beneficial for them. And I mean, you could take a look at the Raiders as one example of that. And then the timing for the quarterbacks need to get their timing down, whether they're new quarterbacks or old quarterbacks with new players in their system. You know, the timing is really huge on some of these things, and it's very precise. I mean, you guys were just talking about Kyle Shanahan and what he wants out of a quarterback. It's like he wants a thinker out there, some guy that's smart, but some guy that's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, accuracy comes with a lot of timing. You know, they say practice makes perfect. Well, okay, practice makes perfect, so get the OTAs underway.
Well, just like, for example, you know, the Denver Broncos want a quarterback to come in and compete against Drew Locke, all right? And certainly, you know, they'll be talking to Carolina about Teddy Bridgewater. They'll consider Alex Smith. You know, maybe they trade for Garner Minshew. But in the end, it's like if they have to take, like, Trey Lance at the ninth pick, I mean, he's not going to be able to compete in the first year against Drew Locke. I mean, you know, he's only had 17 games in one game last year. That's not, he's not going to be able to compete if there's no offseason program.
True. I listen to all these kinds of podcasts, John, as you probably know, yeah. And they had, there was one guy named Marquette King. He used to be known as Marquette King, same guy, just the proper pronunciation is Marquette. He was a punter with the Raiders for a bit. Then he went over to the Broncos. He signed a big contract. You know, everyone kind of wants to know, like, okay, why aren't you in the league anymore? And he said that when he signed that contract with the Broncos, that Vance Joseph, special teams coach, wanted him to totally change the way he kicked. And it's just another great example of where, you know, if it ain't broke, why fix it?
Right.
I mean, are you gonna tell Patrick Mahomes how to throw a sidearm differently when he's been very effective doing it? I mean, you know, it's just – and so Marquette was with them for a year and a half. But he couldn't kick the way they wanted him to. So he's out of the league. It's really a shame because he was great with the Raiders, a bit outlandish in his on the gridiron. But aside from that, I mean, he was definitely good. I mean, he inherited the throne after Shane Leckler left, and Shane Leckler he was on the practice squad for 2 years before Leckler left. And by the way, I think Leckler is going to be in the Hall of Fame someday. And I just think that that's just a shame to see that happen. It's another great example of where coaches don't use the player's strengths as opposed to just trying to make them do something to fit into their style as opposed to what the player can do.
Yeah. By the way, what do you think of the releases this week by the Raiders? Arden Key and Maurice Hurst, two picks from 2018. So now they're down to three picks from 2018.
Yeah, that whole draft, John, the only one that was really the keeper, and that's why they signed him this offseason, was Colton Miller. Arden Key was, he showed flashes, but really nothing. He got hurt for a while, and then he had COVID. And the only thing he did well was when they won that game against Kansas City, he was a rover, if you will. And he did a really good job doing that. But aside from that, he didn't do much. With regard to Hurst, he was supposed to be drafted much higher, but he had a heart condition. And so a lot of teams passed on him. The Raiders got him. They thought they were going to get a good – well, he just hasn't really – I think he suffered from being in Paul Gunther's system. But I also think that, he needed to show a little more zip. And, look, if the Seahawks pick him up, that'd be great. I think he'd be great with a lot of teams.
Yeah.
I think Detroit might be the one he's going to go to. But I think that's just also being very convenient because he went to, school at Michigan. The one I'm really intrigued by is Alton Smith. It's a great pickup for the Seahawks, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Great pickup. He was with, when he was able to resuscitate his career with the Raiders, and while it didn't work out with the Raiders, what I'm curious about is why the Cowboys released him. Was it a cap move?
Well, no, he was on a one-year contract.
Oh,
they just didn't offer to re-sign him.
Well, I don't know why they didn't offer to re-sign him. I mean, the guy's a player.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a number of sacks with the Cowboys.
Five.
Yeah. So that's no slouch.
No, but for the limited amount of money they had to pay him, I think it's a good move. Hey, got to run.
Okay, John, take care.
Hi, Jim. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Tara in Mercer Island. Hey, Tara.
Hi, Mr. Clayton. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm very excited about the Arden Smith signing. I think that's a great pickup. And as Rader Smith mentioned just a second ago, I was shocked how the Seahawks called in November about trading for him, and then the Cowboys were like, no, we're not trading for him, and then they opted to not sign him. Why do you think the Cowboys let him go? Because he signed for the minimum. He wasn't too much money.
Yeah, in fact, he was making, I think, $2 million last year in Dallas. But, I think that, they were more content with the defensive ends that they had and one or so that they added in free agency, and they wanted to go a different direction. He did slow down toward the end of the season, and so that may play into it, too. You have a new defensive coordinator in Dan Quinn taking over. So it's just it was surprising because he was, for what he was being paid, he was really successful.
Right. He's going to be a great pickup. I hear you talking about possibly signing a third wide receiver. I thought Freddie Swain showed some good stuff, even though he had limited catches. What do you think the Seahawks could just go with him and not sign a third wide receiver?
They could, but they also may draft one, too, either in the second round or the fourth round. I mean, they have three draft choices. You want to have as much competition as you possibly can. And so if it relies on Freddie Swain or John Ursua and all that stuff, I don't know if that's going to be enough. But there's no urgency. Now, one of the guys that they were looking at just signed yesterday, they were looking at Marquise Goodwin, who had been in San Francisco, ended up going in a trade to Philadelphia, and then he opted out for the season. And so then in the end, it's like they cut him. And so now he ended up getting probably a minimum salary deal with the Chicago Bears.
That's disappointing. We missed out on him. I liked watching him in the 49ers. He's very fast. He would have been a great pickup.
Yeah, because I think what you're looking at is, okay, you have Freddie Swain, you have John Ursua, but they're not the biggest guys, and they're more slot guys than anything else. And so if you want a bigger guy, then you have to go out and get one, whether it's going to be in free agency or whether it's going to be in a taller guy or in the draft. But, again, there are options, and there's going to be a lot of options. I mean, they can get probably a pretty decent fourth-round wide receiver if that's going to be the case.
Based on the NFL, what do you who do you think's going to do good in the draft? I know the Seahawks only have 3 picks, but what team do you see doing good in the draft?
Well, I can see the Jets doing well. I can see the Dolphins doing well because they've got, you know, a lot of picks and a lot of high picks and those things like that. So I think, you know, those two teams look like they're going to be probably the teams in the AFC East. I mean, maybe even New England, depending on how they handle things, you know, because you can look and see, they've done some good things in free agency, but also I think that they've got plenty of picks, and the teams with plenty of picks can do a lot of good things.
Do you think New England's going to draft a quarterback?
I think they'll trade up to get a quarterback, yeah, because they get the 15th pick, and I think they'll trade up to either 7 with Detroit or 9 with Denver to try to get the quarterback, whether it's going to be Justin Fields. You know, I think they'll probably want Justin Fields over Trey Lance just because they probably want to play him a little bit earlier.
How do you think Justin Fields going to do in the NFL? I watched him in a couple games. I don't know how he'll transition. I think Trevor Lawrence will be a great quarterback,
yeah,
I
agree.
Don't know how he'll transition.
Yeah, I think that, and there seems to be questions, but I'm not going to underestimate what he can do because he's fast. He's, you know, a great athlete. He's got a good arm, all those different things. But like anything else, you know, when you look at most drafts, it's like if you have 5 quarterbacks, 2 or 3 of them are going to fail. And so I don't know if there's a failure that he could have or not. But, I think there's some hope there that he can do some good things. That's why the question is, you know, why, Kyle Shanahan likes the accuracy. And that's why I think he's going to take Mac Jones over Fields. And if not, then Fields drops to 7 or 9. But, you know, that's where you can maybe see the Patriots coming up and trade for him. Hey, Tara, thank you for the phone.
Thank you.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mike in Renton. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, John. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. How are you and Pat doing?
Doing well.
Good, good. Glad to hear that. Hey, John, there was something I was thinking about during the week, and I haven't heard or seen him in a long time. Pat Calabro. What happened to him?
Pat Calabro?
He used to do the Sonic games.
Yeah, he does the Portland Trailblazers.
Oh, okay. Does he live in the Portland area now?
No, he probably lives here. I mean, I'm sure he has a place down there just so it's an easier commute and all that stuff. But no, Calabro's here. I mean, what a great guy.
Oh, isn't he? I love that guy. I love the way he did the Sonic games.
Yeah.
Oh, he was just that voice of his, just, you know, went right through the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, John, getting to the Steelers, did they sign Castro?
He's under contract.
Yeah, did they re-sign him?
No. They redid his contract a little bit just to give some cap room, but no, he's still under contract. Their big thing is left tackle because they haven't done Alejandro Villanueva.
Yeah. Well, I know we got a lot of needs everywhere, so I just hope, which I got faith in the Steelers scouting department, they'll come up with some gems. Hey, I see when we play the Seahawks this year, John.
That's right, in Pittsburgh.
Wow. I'm going to try to make that game. Are you going there, or are you going to stay here local?
No, too early to say right now. We don't know about travel or anything of that nature.
Yeah, but by that time, won't they open up the stadium or at least let half in?
They'll open up for some, but we'll see. Yeah, but way too early to call.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Alton Smith signs with the Seahawks. I think that's a very good pickup for them. I think he's going to really fit in and do some good there.
Oh, but, I agree. I think it was a great move.
The Cowboys made a big mistake releasing him. They got so many.
Well, they didn't release him. He wasn't under contract. They just didn't offer him to come back.
Yeah, it's a shame. They should have re-signed him. Well, John, I got nothing else to say. You take care and have a good day.
Okay, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Irish Mankey. Irish Mankey, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Clayton. Absolutely wonderful, and it's going to be a wonderful day today, it looks like, huh?
Sure sounds like it. Sure.
Having a heat wave, huh?
It is.
I hope you and Mrs. Clayton get a little sunshine today.
We'll see.
Work on that vitamin D. Don't forget the suntan lotion.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Clayton, couple of things. TV today on Como at 11, the 30 for 30 show is Al Davis versus the NFL.
Wow, that should be a good one.
And it's Davis versus Roselle. Apparently, reading the information on the TV screen, it mentions that the show is built upon the two guys and the air interviews and using those to interact to set the case, you might say.
Yeah, yeah. Having witnessed all that stuff, I'm sure it was going to be fascinating to watch.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, you were there living it, and kind of I was too, but from your standpoint, who do you think was, what was the key issue, the core issue? What was Davis trying to accomplish, and what was Roselle
He wanted everything for the Raiders.
Everything for the
everything.
Raiders, okay. Well,
yeah.
That's a team owner, you know.
Right.
But how realistic was he, I guess you could say, about his what he was trying to get versus Roselle?
Well, like, for example, it's like whether it was going to be
defend, right?
Yeah, it's like he wanted everything. I mean, he wanted the ability to move back and forth if he could. He just disagreed with just about anything that was anti Raider, and he wanted everything for the Raiders, and so he was going to
franchise freedom, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, so speaking of Raiders, why not? So have you moved out of the top 10 as far as your evaluation and who you think's going to go where?
Yeah, pretty much.
For maybe the second half? I'm primarily thinking about the Raiders and who they might draft.
Well, I think the way I look at it is that particularly, they need defensive help without question. So they could look at an edge rusher, but I still look at their offensive line after trading three starters on the offensive line, having a young center and, Brandon Miller has to go back to right tackle. I'm thinking they'll take Tevin Jackson a tackle, because right now I think there's such an urgent need on that offensive line, because, when you trade, you trade three and you have Richie Incognito coming back from a bad injury, that's not a good thing. So I think right now, as much as they would like to take on defense.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with you.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff I've read, they're actually talking about, Pro Football Focus had a mock draft by the fans kind of a thing.
Right.
And they had the Raiders picking a safety. But I've read in some other places, they're going to go Irish with the Butkus Award winner linebacker from Notre Dame. Jeremiah Owusu Koura.
Yeah, but he's only like 216 pounds, right?
I know. That's brought up in the deal, too. But they also point out that he can do it all.
Uh-huh.
He can cover the slot. He can blitz. You don't get the Butkus Award winner as the best linebacker in college football just because you're only 215 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see, but you're right. The consensus was, like you're saying, desperation on the line, the offensive line. But aren't there a lot of line opportunities in this draft?
There are, but I don't know if it's going to last to the second round. I mean, because I think you can have 5 to 7 go on in the first round. 5 to 7 offensive linemen, and all of a sudden you're sitting there in the middle of the second round, and it was like, whoops, I'm left without.
Yeah, there's a left tackle for Notre Dame that is worth considering, I would say. So, all right, Mr. Clayton, you have a fabulous day, and if you can, check out the Al Davis versus the NFL today
okay.
at 11 o'clock on 3030.
Okay, good suggestion.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Dave Grosby joining us at the 10:30 mark. And so let's go to Eric. Hey, Eric.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Beautiful day today. I just love it. How's your wife doing?
Doing well.
Great. Okay, I've got kind of like a my own draft thing I want to do. I know the Raiders need an offensive tackle, and they do. But if Christian Barmore is there, I want to take him first and maybe get a tackle in the second round, or vice versa, if Barmore is gone by 17, then take an offensive tackle. What do you think about that?
I think Barmore would be that's an overdraft because he's going to be at the bottom of the round, not the middle of the round. So if you're taking him at 17, I mean, that's just too much because this is a bad defensive tackle draft. I have him going down like 29 or 30.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And if you look at most mock drafts, it's pretty much very similar.
So that's down in the Tampa Bay range.
Yeah, Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, Buffalo, those teams.
If other than that, so if they take an offensive tackle at 17, what's the likely candidates that will be there?
Well, I mean, the one that I have him on my mock draft for the Washington Post is I have him taking Tevin Jenkins.
I wouldn't be mad at that either.
Yeah, so it's like Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State. You know, also around that, so Jalen Mayfield from Michigan. I have him going to Indianapolis at 21. At 16, you know, I have Elijah Vera Tucker from USC. So really, I mean, that's the middle of the first round is right where you have a whole bunch of tackles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no chance of Barmore being available in the second round.
No. I mean, he's the only defensive tackle that presumably has a first round grade. The only one.
I know the Raiders have reached on a few people in the draft, but I'm a big Barmore fan. I really am.
Yeah. Well, that's the one thing. It's like Mike Mayock seems to, you know, dwell on SEC players, and obviously at Alabama he's an SEC player. But again, it's like they've done such a bad job of drafting defensive players, particularly of late. I mean, you look at last year's draft; that hasn't worked out. You know, in 2018, I know Mayock wasn't there, but they let two defensive players go, Arden Key, and they let Maurice Hurst go, third and fourth round picks.
I mean, a big fan. Maurice Hurst didn't let go, but. What about the other guys that they picked up? I think they're more like role players, Solomon Thomas and the other group. We need a difference maker in the middle, somebody that's a pocket collapser, and that's why I'm so high on Barmore.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, but I just think that's overdrafting because, again, if you're taking a guy that pretty much is rated at the bottom of the first round, obviously you take the player that you want. That's the ability that you have. But if you overdraft and then you get yourself in trouble, and that's what they've been doing. They've overdrafted. I mean, you look at all the defensive players they've taken in the last few years. How many have really worked out?
Right. So if that's the case, could the Raiders trade down? Whatever, three, four, five spots, and then pick him up.
They could do that, sure.
Yeah, I'm really high on Barmore. I know I'm just hard headed, I guess, but I really want because I think he's a pop. Because if you get some guys,
but isn't he more of a run stopper than a pass rusher?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's not
all right.
So that's not a difference maker. I mean, again, he's good, but he's not great. And this is a bad defensive tackle draft. Now, again, what you're going to see is that, you know, teams are going to overdraft defensive players, because once you get I was looking even in the second round. I struggle with I find maybe one defensive tackle in the second round. So you're really struggling just to get the good defensive tackles.
Uh-huh. Okay, John. Well, yeah, not the answer that I wanted to hear, but you know, I know everybody's got their opinion, but yeah. I'm still high on Barmore, but it's
trade down would be smarter if that's going to be the case.
Yeah. Yeah, I can dig it. I can dig it. Okay, John, you all have right. A great day.
Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.